This is really amazing when you think about it. Normally we're titleless. We just go by the scripture. If you look it up at newvisionbaptistchurch.org and look under sermon archives, you'll normally see the scripture. It'll say 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 to whatever. But we have a title this morning. It is, there's two of them. Number one, how do I know that I love Christ? How do I know that I love Christ? And then secondly, what the love of Christ produces. What the love of Christ produces. How do I know I love Christ? Or what does the love of Christ produce? We, of course, are in the Christmas season. We celebrate in a special way. We celebrate all year being Christians, but in a special way. During this time of the year, we celebrate the birth of Christ. And next Sunday, we're going to look at the incarnation. As I mentioned before the dinner the other night, the real miracle is not the birth per se. It was like any other birth. It's the conception. It's the incarnation. That's the miracle. We're going to break that down in some detail next Sunday, again, as the Lord wills. Sunday school, regular time, church, regular time. Even though it's Christmas Eve, we're going to do things like we normally do on Christmas Eve. I don't know if everyone's going to be here or not, but we'll see how it goes. Couldn't be worse than today. Between illness and Christmas programs, we've got a lot of folks out. But we're delighted you're here, for sure. But we will we'll talk about the incarnation. All right, let's look at John chapter 14. We sing a whole lot about love, about loving the Lord. Christmas time, we think, we don't normally think of John 3:16 as a Christmas verse, but it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's a great gift, right? The greatest gift ever. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we do because of our trust in him. We have been saved. We've been born into his family. We have received of the unspeakable gift. There aren't terms to describe the splendor of our Lord, the greatness of his glory, and the blessing of his promises upon those who truly believe. When we talk about love, love really is meaningless if there is no action to back it up. I used the illustration years ago that if I told Barbara I loved her and I went home and I started smacking her around with a frying pan, do my actions match my words? We got to be careful that we don't do the same thing with our God. We tell him we love him. We sing about it. We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But yet when we live our lives, there's little evidence, if any, of our supposed love for him. Saying something is meaningless if there aren't actions behind it. So number one, let's look first at love for Christ produces faithfulness. Love for Christ produces faithfulness. John 14 and verse number, and I'm in 2 Kings. That's not going to work, is it? I think I'm a little ways off here. John chapter 14, verse number 15. We'll be looking at some other verses in this chapter as well as other verses. Very simple. He said this, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, obey me. It's that simple. So that would tell me that if we do not obey him, then in practice, we don't really love him, do we? Even though we tell him we do. Love for Christ produces faithfulness. First of all, faithfulness to the word. Faithfulness to the word. If you love me, keep my commandments. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man or woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And we see a downward progression here in this beginning psalm. walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, which would point to the sitting outside the gates of a city where the men would conduct business and talk about government. So you start out, you kind of walk and seek the counsel of some who do not know the Lord, and so therefore they wouldn't have very wise counsel, would they? But we don't stop there. Then we begin to spend more time standing in the way of sinners, which speak of something more than just a casual passing by and a few comments or seeking advice in a matter or two. Now we are spending inordinate amounts of time with those that don't know the Lord, to the point that we finally fall in love with the world. And the Bible says we love the world. The love of the Father is not in us. We are now sitting in the seat of the scornful and making decisions contrary to Scripture, just like those that don't know the Lord do. But on the other hand, the one that is faithful to his God and obedient to his word is the one that delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So more than just a cursory reading of Scripture, maybe reading a little devotional, we're talking about spending time meditating upon the word of truth, which would mean that we're pondering the real meaning of it and getting into the depths of the word of God, which would cause our relationship with him to grow stronger. It's one thing to learn the Bible, learn things about God, to learn truth. And that's important. We can't get saved unless we know the gospel, right? Begins intellectually. We have to understand Scripture. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to know that. Can't get saved. We don't know that. But it doesn't stop there. The Word of God must go from the head where most, and I said most intentionally, I picked that word intentionally, most stop there. Many mainline denominations stop there. We learn some facts about the Bible. We learn the facts of the gospel. But that's it. Because repentance is not brought in, this understanding that we are sinners and we need to be willing to turn from sin and turn to God in saving faith, truly believing from the heart. Excuse me, that Christ died upon a cross to pay our sin debt in full. That he was buried, that he rose again the third day. So it goes from the head to the heart, doesn't it? And we talk about this often. This is not new. We know that it must get in the heart. We believe from the heart. We confess that Jesus is Lord from the heart. And that's what causes us to be born into God's family. We receive a new heart. We are new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. His delight is in the law of the Lord. So we go from knowledge, knowing things about God, to experiential knowledge. Paul talked about this in Philippians 3. He talked about knowing God. Well, he already knew him. He was saved. No, talking about an intimate relationship, a fellowship. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, we are in him, he is in us. We have been grafted in. I mean, that speaks of relationship, doesn't it? So it's more than just a cursory knowledge of some things about Christ or about his word. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Very active, real part of our lives. He shall be like a tree planted. Anybody ever see a tree plant itself? That'd be freaky, wouldn't it? You're looking out the window, looking in the backyard, and all of a sudden a tree comes swooping down and plants itself. That'd be awesome, because I hate planting trees. You got to dig a big hole. And where I live, you're digging a big hole in rock. And you got to make your own soil, because there is none. And then you plant the tree, and it does really lousy for years, and then finally it takes off and finally starts growing. I've got some in that process. Now, some that have took off and others that are struggling to The deer like to eat the baby trees. You know, they like to chew on them. That kind of stunts their growth, that sort of thing. Well, we know that a tree is planted by someone else. The tree spoken of here is planted by God himself. In Israel, of course, there are a lot of barren areas. And so if you see a lush green tree, it's normally going to be along a body of water. And that's what a person is when they come to know Christ. God has planted them, and his leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever that person does that is faithful to his God, obedient to his word, and loves the truth of Scripture, that person will prosper, at least in the eyes of God. Because we prosper in the eyes of God doesn't mean that the world is going to think we're prosperous. But we should be concerned about whether we are prosperous in God's eyes. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. See, it's more than just occasionally picking up the Bible, reading a verse or two, or reading a little Our Daily Bread, or any little devotional Days of Praise, which I really love. It's more than that. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Joshua 1:8, we recently used to have that memorized back in the day. Now I get it all jumbled up, so let me read it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all, or do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So let me ask you a question this morning as we are winding down 2023, heading into 2024. How alive is your Bible? I told you about a message preached by an evangelist the same month that Barbara and I got saved. And it was entitled, Your Bible, Is It Dead or Alive? I thought that was a catchy title. Your Bible, Is It Dead or Alive? Is your Bible alive? Look over the last year in your own mind, your own heart. Did you spend adequate amounts of time in the Word? I know it can never be enough. But what kind of time did you? It's between you and God. I'm not asking you to write a report or anything, but just think within yourself how your Bible habits were. Because as your Bible habits improve, your life, if you're truly born again, will improve. Let me give you a personal example. I've been praying for my little granddaughter, she's not little anymore, but praying for Abby. That Abby wouldn't be like so many teenagers that fall by the wayside spiritually. Why is that doing that? What's going on? I wonder if it's a do you have the monitors on?
Yes.
Just kill them and see if that's off. It may be a plug that we have to monkey with. It's normally one of those. All right. So Abby, I've been praying for Abby. Lord, please don't let her fall by the wayside. Don't let her be just another teenager that raised in church and then she gets out of high school because she's only got a few years left, and then she's gone. And lo and behold, out of the clear blue one day, Abby said, Bubba, she calls me Bubba. She's the only one that calls me Bubba. She couldn't say Grandpa when she was little, so she started saying Bubba. And I love it. Anyway, so she, don't I look like a Bubba? Seriously. So she said, Bubba, I want to get closer to God. And I'm paraphrasing. And I don't know exactly how to do that. Can you help me? Okay. So I got her some good books to help her along the way. I bought her a new Bible. And I've been keeping up with her. It's been about 6 or 8 weeks now. And she said that she's been keeping up with her devotion. She said, I want to have a real relationship with God. And man, my heart was thrilled because I really been praying. And so I ask her, well, let me back up. Every so often I'll go pick her up and we'll go to Cracker Barrel and we'll have supper together, and then she'll pick out a couple of things from the store. You know, it's a big deal. And I noticed something different this time. Normally it's, Bubba, Mom's been on me again about so-and-so. She's so unfair, and I can't do it. She took my phone away again for 2 weeks, and I don't like my stepdad. And she'll spend the whole time telling me how awful her life is. Guess what? This time she didn't say anything negative, not one thing. What's different? She's living in the same home, got the same mom, got the same stepdad, got the same stepbrother that drives her insane, and she didn't have a single complaint. And the difference is she's spending time in the Word of God. It's that simple. Not only is she spending time, but she's evidently, some of it's been taken to heart. Her whole attitude was different. Now, I'm not saying she's never going to say anything negative again or that she's not going to have down times, but I'm telling you, for the last several times that we met together, she didn't have much good to say. It was almost all bad. So this was a big deal. So maybe you're caught in a negative rut. Maybe you see everything through glasses that have no rose in them. Okay, and everything's kind of negative and down, and I mean, you don't have to look around much in our world to get down. I just challenge you this year to make the Word of God a priority. Pastor, you don't understand how busy I am. Listen, we all have 168 hours a week, don't we? Doesn't even matter what shift you work. We have 168 hours in a week. If we can't spend 15 minutes a day in the Word of God, that's minuscule. We're too busy. Would you agree with that? The God that gave us life, sustains our life, has promised to come back and take us with Him into heaven, and He's the one that provides everything good that we enjoy in this life. All of it comes from God. And if it were not for Him, not only would we have nothing, we would be nothing, and we wouldn't even be alive. We can't take 15 minutes a day to spend in His Word. Again, if we don't have 15 minutes, we're too busy. Or we're too full of excuses. So number one, love for Christ produces faithfulness, faithfulness to the Word. Number two, faithfulness to the worship. Faithfulness to the worship. Hebrews 10:25, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? The day of the rapture. Ephesians 3:21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Not only faithfulness to the Word and faithfulness to the worship, which I encourage you, as a personal testimony, it's not a bragamony, I'm the pastor and I'm supposed to be here, right? I mean, if I don't show up, you wouldn't put up with that too long before you'd say, maybe it's time we put the pastor out to pasture and get us somebody that'll attend church. I missed one Sunday this year, and it was to go to a Bible conference. Now, I'm supposed to get two Sundays a year, and then I think there's a stipulation for one Sunday I'm able to miss four Bible conferences or whatever. So I won't be here the next 2 weeks. I'm just kidding. My point is, I take what I do seriously. I don't look for reasons not to be here. I got a pastor friend of mine. I don't know. He's probably gone 6 months out of the year. I'm not kidding you. Him and his wife, they're always gone. I used to fill in for him, and I had a lot of Sundays where I got to preach and teach. I think a pastor should be in the church as much as possible, don't you? Amen. I mean, don't you expect your pastor to be here? Well, I got news for you. I know you don't get paid to come here, but your pastor expects you to be here, and most of you are. I mean, you are. You're faithful. I'm disappointed, of course, in Wednesday night, it's kind of dwindled down to a very, very small handful. And Sunday school this morning, of course, we've got a lot of folk out. But even if they were all here, we're still down from what we used to be. And it's disheartening for the old preacher. I want to finish with a bang, not a bust. But I just challenge you in 2024, try not to look for reasons to miss, but look for reasons to come. Isn't that better? Instead of, what kind of excuse can I muster up? Most people don't do that. I know that. And I know you. You guys are so faithful, most of you. So I'm not trying to pick on you or be ignorant. But I just want you to enter the new year with new expectations and a new desire. Obviously, we come together because we love one another. I don't know about you. I want to be with people I love. Don't you? Amen. And I sort of think, and we're going to talk about this here very soon today. We are a family, and families generally love one another. We want to be with those that we love. And so maybe we need to do some examination of our love. Do we really love the Lord? If we have been not the Lord only, but each other, if we truly have been born again. Let me move on because we're going to get back to that here in a minute. Faithfulness to the word, faithfulness to the worship. Number three, faithfulness in our walk. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Ephesians 5:2, we are to walk in love. Ephesians 5:8 also says we are to walk in light. Jesus said in John chapter 3, if you recall, let me read these. John 3, verses 19 through 21. He said, this is the condemnation. And this is right after John 3:16, okay? This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, speaking of himself, of course, and men love darkness rather than light. Well, why? Well, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or be exposed. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, after that they are wrought in God. So walking in love, walking in the light, and also walking in learning, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Not only are we to be faithful to the word and to the worship and faithful in our walk, but also faithful in our witnessing. We talked about each one bring one. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. And so we are to go and proclaim the gospel. That's what we've been called first and foremost to do. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Also Mark 16:15. How's that start? Somebody help me out. Go ye into all the world. That's not it, is it? No. I'm going to look it up. You don't mind, do you? You got time? Mark 16. I hate the fact that I can't remember all these scriptures. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to how many creatures? Every creature. Also, faithfulness in warfare. We saw this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Afflictions will come. Paul told Timothy, endure them, because the reward is great. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So love for Christ produces faithfulness. Secondly, Roman numeral 2, love for Christ produces fellowship. John 14, verse number 23. John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Would you call that intimate fellowship? Love for Christ produces fellowship. Number one under that, fellowship with Christ. We just read it. Also, 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The word fellowship there, if you're a Greek scholar, is koinonia. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know that word. Koinonia can be translated fellowship. It can be translated communion. When we have the Lord's Supper, it's a sweet time of fellowship around the table. We have the grape juice symbolizing the blood. We have the bread symbolizing the broken body. And we remember his death till he come. Also, fellowship with other Christians. It's critical. 1 John 3:14, we know. And remember, that's one of the things, 1 John, a lot of key words there. One of the key words is know. And the idea was to, how can we know we're saved? How can we have assurance of salvation? He gives many examples. And one of them, he said, you know, we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You can put sister in there too. We love the brothers and sisters. We know we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abides or remains in death. 1 John 4:21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. In Acts 2:42, the first church, they continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Well, Pastor, how in the world can I demonstrate love in the church? We just come in, we sit in the chair and stuff. Mingle around. Get involved in each other's lives. Not meddle. I'm not talking about meddling. But hey, how was your week? How's the job going? Different questions. And just fellowship, talking to each other. Don't we talk to those we love? I mean, what kind of marriage would it be if husbands and wives went home and they never said anything to each other? Just walked in and sat down in their chair. Right? That's not a relationship. That's not love. Acts 2:46, fellowshipping in the church. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness and sincerity of heart. Love for Christ produces faithfulness. Love for Christ produces fellowship. Lastly, love for Christ produces fullness of joy. Do you have joy in your heart? I'm not asking if you're happy. I haven't been happy since my wife died. Oh, come on, Pastor. You haven't been happy? No. Are there little moments? Don't you love your kids? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's moments of happiness because I do love my girls, my grandkids, my church. I even love Kathy. I know it's hard to believe. She's so mean to me. But I love my church. I love you more than I've ever loved any people I've ever pastored. God's taught me. I'm a slow learner. He's taught me over these... This month's 40 years. 40 years, yeah. And he had to do the same thing with my relationship with Barbara. I mean, I'm a slow learner, but I learned over time and never did arrive. I don't want to make you think I was a perfect husband because I was far from it. But I did learn a little bit about how to be a good husband and how to love my wife. Last night was one. I made the fatal mistake last night of watching one of those touchy-feely Hallmark Christmas movies. And I loved it. Barbara would have loved it. I love those movies. I know it's ridiculous that man would love that. I'd rather watch that than some shoot-up movie. But anyway, I get all fluttery inside, and it's good for a man to be softened occasionally, don't you think? So my wife and I would watch those movies, and it didn't make me cry. But after I watched it and thought about how much Barb would have loved it, that made me cry. But relationships should grow and develop, and they should in the church. That's why I always marvel when someone can just all of a sudden vanish from the church. How can you just vanish from somebody you really love? But you'll turn around one day and somebody's gone. Where'd they go? I don't know. Can't get a hold of them. What have you done? Well, I've tried contact and I can't. That kind of thing. I mean, how can we say we love one another? But when we do love one another, we, among other things, of course, obedience to our God, love for His Word, love for each other, we develop fullness of joy. Number one, because of His presence. We read that in verse 23. Also because of His peace. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. You know, the world cries peace and safety. There's no peace in this world. But with Jesus, there's real peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I wanted to also add that I have fullness of joy. I may not be happy all the time because I miss my wife that bad and my life is incomplete without her. I had almost 5 decades with the same woman. You don't think it's going to impact someone's life? Well, it'll never be the same. But I know one day we'll be reunited. That's my hope and my joy. Also, love for Christ produces fullness of joy, not only because of His presence, peace, but also because of His promise. Verse number 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice. Why? Well, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Not greater in nature, but greater in duty. Greater in duty. Because Father, Son, Holy Spirit are co-equals. They're all three God, not one greater than the other as far as essence or nature or being. He's talking about in works, in the things the Father did. Did not the Father send the Son? And between the two, the Father and Son sent the Holy Spirit. So love for Christ produces faithfulness, fellowship, and fullness of joy. And I trust for the rest of this year through the Christmas season, we would be just overfilled with fullness of joy because of Christ and what He did for us. And one day soon, the rapture of the church is going to occur. Things are all pointing to it. The time of our departure is at hand. I can't set a date, don't have the authority. Don't have the information, but it's going to be soon. Relatively speaking, it's going to be soon. Let's stand together for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for all that You bless us with as we surrender in obedience to You and Your Word. Holy Spirit of God, please continue to direct our path. May we be in the center of Your will. May You bless Your church here. Build it for Your glory. You said You would build Your church. Help us, Lord, to be in cooperation with the Holy Spirit of God and obedient to You, that we might see growth, not only in us and in each other in the church, but others coming in. Bless now this invitation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.